Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. It's Halloween. Halloween 2021, and we forgot to dress up, so we have great costumes for radio.
Yeah.
We should describe all our our great costumes. Darn it, I already blew it. I guess I'm feeling fairly uneventful today. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and I don't have any candy for you today, but we do have a great show coming. How's that?
And, since you don't have a treat,
yes,
then the trick must be the sponsor.
It is. It is. They're not going to trick you, though. Pape Machinery.
Yes, it's like kind of a, you walked right into it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're a local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you need a tractor or a mower or anything related to lawn and garden, go by and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, and they've got it all going on up there. They got mowers, tillers, box scrapers. If you got a tractor and need to put something behind it, go up and see them, and they can get you fixed up. They're also a steel products dealer and a Honda power products dealer, so they can, if they don't have it, they can definitely get it for you. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
So let's see. Let's give that phone number one more time.
226-9226.
With a 530 area code, because there's somebody out there without a cell phone who thought they could break in and rob the store.
That's true.
Then they left their cell phone.
So we'll be getting a hold of that special person.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
So if you want to recover your phone, it's in a bowl of rice at our house because it got a little rain on it. But we're hoping that they'll be able to call you soon.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll call that number and want their phone back. But we'll have that discussion.
So just in case you thought you left it at your mom's house,
yeah.
Not so much.
No.
You left it at the scene of your most recent crime.
Yeah.
Gosh, I guess that was the trick.
Yeah, that was it. They tried to trick us. They did get away with a gallon of gasoline, though, which nowadays, it's $4 or $5. So, it was, well, we're jumping the fence and
climb a fence, set off an alarm.
Get a gallon of gas and hightail it and lose your cell phone
that probably cost $800.
Yeah, crime does not pay, folks.
Yeah. Let's strike another one for the good guys.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah, so what are we doing today?
Okay. Well, we're talking about pot for 2 weeks because our guest thought it was a great time to talk about pot on Halloween, because there's all sorts of bad stuff going on,
all sorts of evil
and nuttiness. Before we do that, though, I wanted to let you know that the website is wethepeopleradio.us. And we have another website. I'm going to attach it on there. Haven't done it yet. But it's called My Place on the Wall. So if you want to post stuff and not be censored and you would like to get information out there to people, it's set up like Facebook. It's a format like Facebook, but it has nothing to do with Facebook. It's just that same kind of idea where you can go there and you can use your real name or not. Doesn't matter. You can post articles. You can post photos, videos. You can even create polls for other users
to
take.
Give them your name and address and phone number and social security and firstborn and all that to sign
only up? To the administrator.
Only to the administrator.
So you can be whoever you want. You can use your real name or not. You just can't, your only requirement is to go there and tell the truth because,
That's right. It's
about time everybody got involved in some form or fashion. And I know people do like to share information with each other and they're super frustrated that they post, some great information on their Facebook page with for their friends and they go back and it's got a big thing on it that says, this was misinformation. So this site doesn't have any of that. So myplaceonthewall.com. It'll be a nice little community that just sort of popped up, and I think we'll get some use out of that.
Yeah.
So
I like it. It's easy to navigate, too. I checked it out earlier. It looks cool.
Very easy.
Yeah.
So there you have it. And like I said, it'll be on the We the People page pretty soon. I just haven't done it yet. And that is all from that. All right. Our guest today is Heidi Anderson Swan. She's hyphenated. I thought she was just Heidi Swan, but it turns out she has three names. Very exciting. She's the co-author of A Night in Jail, not to be confused with where the guy up at Pape Machinery is going. It's a whole different. It's kind of a theme, though.
Different experience.
I didn't even think about that. It was kind of a theme. But A Night in Jail, it was adapted as a novella, a film, a play, and it's a young adult fiction story. And it's the first really to illustrate cannabis induced psychosis, which is a diagnosis in the mental health listing.
They
don't want to talk about that, but it is a diagnosis. So A Night in Jail was inspired by her brother's true life story as a homeless drug addict with schizophrenia who went to jail 18 times. I've listed all sorts of things here for her. I'll let her tell us about all of that. But the website for her is anightinjail.com. Really simple. There's a book. The site is terrific. It's got, if you know people who are teachers, who are working in the mental health field with young people, really, really cool resources for you there. So it isn't just read about it, oh, what a bad story, and move on. She made it something interactive that can actually be helpful. So, thanks for joining us, Heidi.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. I thank you for that kind introduction, and nice to meet you both, Bill and Aaron. And you guys, you know what I really appreciate about you both and your show is you laugh and you cover tough topics, but you still find an opportunity to laugh, and the music makes fun of things. I mean, I really enjoy how you guys produce this, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. That's very kind. It's better to send them away laughing than send them away mad, that's for sure.
Well, you know, you think about it, you've got time to listen to something, and you think, well, let's listen to something that's going to make my life seem crappier.
Yeah.
You know, said no one ever. But, and they are tough topics. But, you know, oddly enough, the music of when a lot of us grew up, in the 70s, 60s, 70s, sometimes in the big hair era of the 80s,
yes.
A lot of the music addresses all of these topics. And I don't know if it seemed so accurate then, but boy, in retrospect, we have a lot of great material available to us. And especially with the pot thing, I mean, it's just, good Lord. And it's gotten completely out of hand, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's so sad. And so, you know how you say you want to let people walk away with something happy after they've listened to you, even if they hear tough topics. You know, this is sort of what I did with my brother's story, we tried to make it entertaining in a dark way. And that's why it fits for Halloween, because it's a dark story.
It is a dark story.
We didn't want to just say, this is the train wreck that happened, and it happened this, this, this. And because no one would care, because he's not famous, he wasn't, a rock musician or anything like that. So why would somebody read about the horrible choices that he made and the drugs he used and how it affected him? So we tried to make it an entertaining, interesting story, and that's why it's a fictional story.
Well, I like the format of your site. I'm sure we'll get into that at some point. We didn't actually plan out how we were going to do this, but I definitely want you to promote that because it's a really neat tool, and I totally agree with you. There's a lot of information out there about this, but a lot of people think it doesn't really affect them. You know, let's face it, there are a lot of us who really don't come in contact. Frankly, I think if you're driving on the public roadways, you're coming in contact. But
absolutely.
I think a lot of people would think, well, you know, I don't have anybody in my family who's, hooked on this. I don't, you know, my grandkids are all grown up, or my kids are in elementary school. They have no contact. I gotta say, you just need to look around. If you live in a rural area, I guarantee you that large portions of that, especially if you're in Northern California, have been taken over by illegal dope grows.
Mm-hmm.
One of the benefits you get from living by massive illegal dope grows happened last week up in the tiny town of Grenada. I don't even know how many people live there, but it's very small. They had a 5-year-old exposed to fentanyl on the playground. They don't even know, was it on the slide, swings?
They overdosed, right?
Yeah, had to be taken.
5-year-old overdosed?
Yeah, not from ingesting it, just from coming in contact with it. And as far as I know, they still are not sure how that contact occurred. But there are some 5,000 to 8,000cartel dope growers just right down the road with like 5,000 greenhouses right there that they've, you know, it's all on private property. And there's a judge who decided that they couldn't shut the water off to them. So that has stopped the forward momentum there for the just the near future. Hopefully that'll get squared away. But
well, you don't just have to live in a rural area. I mean, shoot, we live in a neighborhood. And I can't tell you how many times I walk out and have to smell my neighbor's pot plants in their backyard that waft into our garage. And I mean,
well, they're not walking around with automatic weapons, but
well, that's true.
Move out of town just a little bit. So you know, at some point, and then you have people. Dr. Phil Drum he was the one who connected us, and he's been on here a bunch of times and talks about the effects of people on people when they drive. And so if you're still kind of out there thinking, oh, well, it just makes people sit around and eat Cheetos all day and nobody gets hurt and there's no ill effect.
Wrong.
This show's for you.
Yeah, watch out because of the impaired drivers, absolutely, 100%. And I live at the beach, and, you know, I was on a walk this morning, 8 a.m., with my husband and a friend, and we're walking out on the pier, and there's a guy smoking his pot on the beach. Nobody enforces it. Nobody cares. This is toxic. You know, we just got rid of tobacco smoke. And the marijuana plant is very similar to the tobacco plant, except it's psychoactive. But it still has a lot of the cancer-causing, you know, carcinogens in it. And so people, you don't want secondhand smoke like that. But we tolerate it in a way that we would never tolerate tobacco smoke today. And in the cars, too, in the morning, all day long, you can smell it coming from cars. It is so dangerous.
Yeah, and secondhand pot smoke does have an effect. It might be very mild, but it has an effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had we had a doctor on from Colorado, and she spoke all about kids being exposed to marijuana smoke in the house. And so, you know, all your asthma and all those things, check all those boxes. But the big problem with the exposure as a kid under the age, I think she said under the age of 25, is that it pre-wires their brain for drug use.
Addiction.
Addiction. So I don't think people realize that. They think they're all sitting around, you know, smoking pot, and they're telling their kids you can't do that. But like anything else, parents do in front of their kids grow up and do it too.
Yes, that's Libby Stout.
Yes, thank you.
As well, yeah, and that was a great program. So people should go back to the archives and listen to that. Which is a good segue into my use as well. So I grew up in Washington State, and marijuana is very common. It's very commonly used today, and it was very commonly used when I was a teenager. And nobody told us there was anything wrong with using it. Nobody told us there was anything wrong with drinking alcohol when we were young. And so I started doing both when I was 12. I had my first drink. I started smoking pot at 12, and I didn't know. But everybody was kind of doing that. It's not like I did it a lot, but I definitely did it. And, you know, let me preface it with, I was a cheerleader, I was class president, I got good enough grades to get into a decent college, so I was not a problem kid. This is how normalized this behavior was. But the one time when I was with my best friend, and we were getting high, and we were in my house, in the laundry room, and all of a sudden, I didn't know who she was. And I didn't know where I was.
Oops.
Holy cow.
It was so scary. Now, she was fine, but I was not. And so 10% of the population is predisposed to psychosis. And most of us have no idea. Marijuana is an environmental risk factor to pull the trigger for it. And so that experience had never happened to me before. And never happened to me. Well, I used it a couple other times after that because I didn't know what happened. I just thought I had a bad trip. You know, I didn't know what that was. I only found out it was called cannabis-induced psychosis just a few years ago. So, but as a 12 or 15-year-old, you know, what did I know? She was fine and laughing at me, and I was, like, freaking out. And so this was in around 1980, and so the potency was just tiny. It was like 5% THC. But the vast majority of the studies that have been done on the link between psychosis and marijuana have been on 2 to 8% THC. So I'm the living example of, you know, someone who is exquisitely sensitive to it. And so 10% of the population is a big number, and it might be, you know, more like 10 to 15. But if you think about what's the percentage of people who are allergic to peanuts...
That would be me.
It's like less than 3%. Oh. But you know what has peanuts in it, and you know what the risks are. And so we have to do this with marijuana. We have to say, if you have mental illness in your family, you need to. This is something you need to stay away from. Now, a lot of people know, have heard about the side effect of paranoia with marijuana. And paranoia is a warning sign that you could have a negative mental health reaction to it if you keep on using it. So, okay, so we go back to me. So I rarely used it because that was really frightening, and I just didn't like it. My brother, on the other hand, he really liked how that made him feel. He liked losing touch with reality. So he did a little bit every day from sometime middle school, high school, college, graduate school at USC, and he felt fine the whole time. You know, he was able to get the grades, not the greatest grades, but he was able to, you know, get through it all. And then when he finished graduate school, he wasn't able to pass his exams so that he could practice in his field of study.
Yes.
I mean, he just, it really affects the memory, as Dr. Libby Stout describes. And so he just couldn't do it. But what he did have was an addiction problem to marijuana.
See, and there are all sorts of people who are addicted to all kinds of things.
Right.
I think a whole lot of people in the last year discovered they were addicted to Netflix and had no idea. but, you know, it's a fine line, you know, between, you know, what you do with your time and how you turn those things on and off. We're going to come back. This is a big topic. And, our guest, let's see. I forget. I got to look it up. All right, I don't want to blow it. I'll do it when we come back. She was maligned in the media.
No.
I'm sure not just once, but she was maligned in the media, and I found their description kind of funny. I got to look it up, though. Oh, she's a zealot. She's an anti-marijuana zealot, anti-cannabis zealot.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to introduce you properly. Yes, this is Heidi Swan, our anti-cannabis zealot. She's here with Aaron and Bill, anti-cannabis zealot channelers. I would hope that people would go online. And if you think this isn't a big deal, definitely go to our website. I've got a tab on there called Pot. It's pretty straightforward. And lots of pictures of where your pot comes from. That ought to fix you. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around. I wanna feel its way, wanna feel its way, put some feel good in my soul. Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke.
Yeah, just a little.
See?
Little smoke.
So you have these advertisements that are rolling all day long? I've got more. But stuff like that, I mean, that I was listening to that in my other ear while you were talking, and I thought, oh, there you go. That's the lure your brother felt.
Yeah, yes.
So was he fine, like, as a kid and all that? You know, when you say he was schizophrenic, people think of, you know, somebody who wasn't able to go to school, wasn't able to do stuff. Obviously, that's not true.
Yeah, no. I mean, we had this was, like, he was just a great kid. You know, he started doing drugs early, so he, you know, there were shenanigans involved with that and lying and, you know, but he got good grades, he played sports, he had friends, he had girlfriends, he had lots of goals. He was always talking about what he wanted to do with his future. I mean, this was a guy who was, really motivated and so, when he got out of graduate school and he wasn't able to, you know, get a good job, and he had an addiction, and just like Libby Stout described, you know, you prime your brain for addictions of all kinds. And so when a friend of his offered him cocaine, he was like, why not? I mean, I did fine with marijuana. Let's try some cocaine. And so he fell in love with it. And then he was introduced to crack. And that became the love of his life. And shortly after that, he was homeless and living under a bridge and doing day labor and dealing drugs on the streets. And, I mean, we were mortified by this. We couldn't, we didn't know what drugs he was doing. But
did you even know where he was?
He was in Seattle somewhere.
Oh, big place.
Yeah, and I mean, there's an unbelievable story of my mom, like, getting, like being crazed one night, going, I've got to find him, and her driving on the freeway in Seattle, and he literally ran across a freeway exit that she was pulling off. I mean, you just wouldn't believe that story. But he used to have to cross a freeway overpass regularly to get in and out of his camp. So the fact that my mom was, you know, driving around looking for him, it was just a crazy happenstance. So we gave him an intervention, and you could see he was not well. I mean, that was so clear. And when I think about it now, how did we get this homeless person off the street into a room with his family? I mean, it's almost next to impossible. And there were not everybody had cell phones back then, and so we could see he wasn't well. But we gave him the intervention, and after 5 hours of begging and crying for him to please get off the streets, please give up drugs, we'd send him into treatment, whatever, he said no. And he went back out on the streets.
Uh-huh.
And so several years went by, and it was just really awful to, you know, imagine my brother living outside while I'm inside enjoying a beautiful Thanksgiving or something. I mean, how it's really, it hurts the whole family, you know, and to pretend like it's not happening, because if you really think that it is happening, it's just so, it's so painful. And so after agonizing years, we were able to finally get him in to see a psychiatrist to get him evaluated for disability. And he called me afterwards, and he said, Heidi, I told her things I've never told anyone in my life. I told her I'm hearing voices. And I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
None of us knew that he was hearing voices. He thought he was John the Baptist. He literally thought that he was following God's will by living outside with the locusts, and that he was getting messages from the angels, and the spirit world was talking to him, and he was being watched all the time by the CIA because he was so special. And, I mean, it's just
yikes.
Amazing the things that he thought.
And he was how old at that point?
Oh, this point, we've just jumped ahead into, like, his 40s or so. So that's how long it went on. He was in jail or on the streets and having all these delusions. But those began, you know, in his 20s.
Wow.
And so the research shows that Okay, so schizophrenia usually happens in the early 20s. If a person who is predisposed to psychosis or schizophrenia uses marijuana, you can bring it on earlier, several years earlier. And for those who already have these symptoms, it can make their symptoms even worse, more pronounced than they already are. And the high-potency products that are out on the market today are causing psychosis in people who have no predisposition. And that's why I'm so passionate about this today. When my brother and I wrote the book together, I didn't know about the high-potency products. I thought they were just talking about the weed from back in the old days. I had no idea about any of this. But the people who are having psychosis from these high-potency products, it's so much more intense than what I experienced. So it just breaks my heart because I think about how I was when I was a teenager and making really dumb decisions because my brain wasn't formed, you know, and nobody telling me that I should beware of this. And now, you know, these kids today, they're told it's good for them. They're told it's healthy. And it's packaged to be attractive to them. And not enough people are telling them that they should really be careful about this and that the consequences to their mental health can be in the short term, like what happened to me, or it could be in the long term, like what happened to my brother. So of all the drugs that can cause a psychotic experience, like meth, the one that converts most often to schizophrenia is marijuana.
Uh-huh.
I mean, above meth, above hallucinogens, above cocaine, above alcohol.
That's pretty hard to do.
I know this.
And how, you know, I haven't looked at all, but how much study is on all this candy and the foods?
Oh, the edibles.
Yeah, that whole other... I mean, you know, it looks like your kids are eating candy, teenagers maybe, and I'm sure little kids get a hold of it. They're in, you know, all sorts of foods and whatnot.
Yeah, it's one of those really, like, I just can't believe we accept this in our society, that they're able to package it to look like an everyday candy to a child, and ages like 1 to 8 are particularly vulnerable to accidental ingestion and going into the emergency room and being put on, you know, I think ventilators, you know, I mean, because it affects the, THC affects the heart and the lungs and the brain. And so the effects can be quite pronounced. I have a friend who called me just like a month ago, and he said, Heidi, you're not going to believe this story, but my brother, who's like almost 60 years old, found a chewy candy, and he ate it, and he was driving home, and all of a sudden he started having a panic attack. And he says, I know you know what I'm talking about here. And I'm like, he just picked up this candy randomly, and he said, yes, and he went to an emergency room, and they told him he had THC in his system, and it caused him to have a panic attack. And so it's not just the young kids, it's the adults who can also have a really negative reaction to it. But we've really got to focus on the kids, and I believe there was a warning put out right before Halloween just a couple days ago that had pictures of these look-alike candies, you know, the THC candies, that look just like what you would get at a store, the packaging even. And they're saying, tell your kids to watch out because they might accidentally get one of these and they might accidentally ingest it.
A great reason. I know when we were kids, our parents always made us dump everything out, and they checked everything out before we got to keep it to make sure. Because even back then, I mean, people would put nasty stuff in the candy bags, and boy, nowadays you've really got to pay attention and really look at what your kids are bringing home.
And it's sometimes hard to discern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, unless you look really close, and then you go, what? Because they make it look just exactly like the candy packaging. And I just think that that really needs to be addressed in our society. That's abusive to kids. And, you know, when people say, oh, well, I have, you know, I take it medicinally. Look, if anybody who is taking it for cancer pain or whatever else, they would eat it if it looked like a piece of coal. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be look like a
right.
sugary treat. I mean, I really think that this is something that has to be addressed.
Well, they did the same thing with cigarettes. You know, they had the Joe Camel and the ads that were basically geared towards adolescents to start smoking, and they banned all that. I don't know why they can't, you know, ban it from the cannabis trade as well. Because you're right, it looks like candy. You can't tell.
Yeah, the packaging and then the candy itself. And then they stamp like maybe a little THC thing or a little leaf on it. But how is a 5-year-old supposed to discern?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, that just is wrong to me. And then also, you know, the whole, let me just quickly just venture back on the medicine part. You know, Phil Drum is a pharmacist. If a patient came to him with a recommendation and the patient was able to choose what he wanted, you know, from a pharmacy, Phil Drum would lose his license for giving him, you know, whatever the guy felt like getting.
I was going to say Phil Drum would be in prison because he would have left over the counter.
Well, you can't, you can't prescribe it. I mean, it's,
And Phil, on shows we've done with him, also goes through all the things that we've actually invented that are real medicine, that are created in a controlled environment, that you actually know what's in it,
yeah.
And that people are substituting with marijuana because it's supposed to be natural.
Yes.
Well, hey, just to shoot a hole in the natural thing from a, something that I've seen. And that massive, you know, it's just one place, but the amount of illegal dope that comes out of there, I couldn't even put a guess on the price. We kind of tried to do a little math, billions. I mean, it's so big. People see pictures, and then when you go there, it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But I saw drums of chemicals, 55-gallon drums of chemicals, sitting on the ground, which, okay, so maybe you think pot's great, but, you know, how do you feel about chemicals, like, soaking into the ground and, you know, no bathrooms and that kind of thing? But one of those drums, we looked it up. It was a really long, you know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious kind of chemical name. So we looked it up. It's a spray adhesive. It's glue. And they spray it on the plants to attract the pollen to make the buds bigger. Well, so that doesn't actually come off later. You don't do, you know, abracadabra and the spray adhesive goes away. So everywhere that dope went, whether it went into, you know, a food product or somebody smoked it or whatever, they were all ingesting spray adhesive.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's got to be good for you.
What could go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so it's this natural.
Well, you wouldn't be allowed to use a product like that on food, you know, if you had a tomato crop or whatever, you couldn't use that product to grow.
Let's use spray
commercial
on the
fruit or
to get
vegetables.
The pollen to come here.
Yeah, well, how can they be allowed to do that? And I don't think they technically are allowed to do that.
They're absolutely not allowed.
But
everything
the stuff
about
ends
that whole
up
thing.
In these co-ops, and they don't check it. I don't care what they say.
They
buy it from the cheapest supplier they can get.
I'm curious.
There's no regulation.
When we come back, like how you think your brother got involved in that, and I think we should all take bets. You know, was it friends? Was it movies? Was it, you know, Cheech and Chong? You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
How does one walk into that and maybe give other family members an idea on what they're looking for? That might be kind of useful because I'm sure there are people out there that are dealing with this too.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Our guest is Heidi Swan. Today seems to be we seem to be in super fast speed. It's Halloween 2021, so we must be at Halloween speed. We'll be right back. You can find everything about our show at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
It's all going to pot. Where do we lie?
the spot. Got a $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. I got a $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, but it's all going to pot.
I wish somebody could see my side of it.
Woo! Seattle Steve, the hat little diesel. Everyone's on his case from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend. Well, you know, I get talked about all the time, but I found a way to get out of it. Let me tell you about it. Sitting in a classroom, making it in the trash. Yesterday, the teacher wrapped just in my bag. By the school bell ring, you know it's my cue. I'm gonna leave the boy long floor number two. Smoking in the boy room. Smoking in the boy room. Now, teacher, don't you feel me? Up with the rule. Cause everybody knows that smoking is allowed.
Wow, that's a really old song. Because they don't have boys' rooms anymore, do they? I think we got rid of those. We just dated ourselves.
Whoa, what's a boys' room?
What's a boys' room? Where boys go? Are we allowed to even say that? I'm a heretic. Look, it's into me. That's what I'm dressed like today. You think I forgot my costume, but I'm technically dressed as a heretic.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so your brother, regular kid, goes to school. You know, is he your younger brother or your older brother?
My older brother.
Older brother.
Yeah. And the sad part of this story is he, you know, because of him, that's how I started using marijuana.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did he start that?
His best friend. He was at his best friend's, dad was a user. And so his best friend knew where his dad's stash was, and so he would just take some. And so, you know, when he offered it to my brother, you know, he offered it like it was nothing. You know, he was like, "Oh, here you go. You know, let's have some." And my brother had heard about it, and he was kind of curious about it, and so he thought, "Well, why not?" And so he tried it, and that was it. So from his best friend's dad.
Wow.
That sounds like a familiar story. I know when I was in, probably never told this story before, but when I was in grade school, I think it was in eighth grade, there was a kid who, super smart kid, he's like the smartest kid in class, had long hair. Of course, we all kind of had long hair back then, but long hair, very smart, liked to read a lot, but he was kind of known as the kid who smoked pot, and I thought, well, shoot. If he can be that smart and smoke pot, what's the harm, you know? Mm-hmm. And I went over to his house one day, and he got some pot, and I kind of looked at his family. I remember now that his family was pretty screwed up. They were living in a house that was kind of a wreck, and his older brothers, I think, were at that time in high school. They're both potheads and kind of the loser type, and you know, as a kid, I never put that together. I just looked at him and thought, you know, that guy's really got it together, and he smokes pot. And I think a lot of people probably have that same story, that they're influenced by somebody who was a peer and ended up getting involved in it. And of course, I look back now and
he was probably doing it because of his parents.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, because his older brothers were both smoking it, and so he smoked it, and I think that's a real common story with kids today is, you know, they know somebody who does it and it doesn't hurt them.
And here we've legalized, I mean, back then.
It was bad news back then.
You built that with a highway patrolman, so, Yeah,
that wasn't enough to stop me from trying it, but it was bad news back then. If you got caught with it, you were in big, big trouble.
How did
Today, it's no big deal.
Yeah, which makes it even more
easy,
enticing, mm-hmm. and easier. So we lose an entire generation. How did your brother wind up, dealing with the police? That was it when he was in his 20s?
What did he get arrested for? Drug dealing, petty theft. You know, he was a middleman. So he would walk up to people, and this is, you know, a tragic thing to me. I wouldn't have been able to stand it if I was him. He used to deal drugs in the U District, the University District, at the University of Washington. And so, and that's where he graduated. That's where I graduated from as well. And so there he was, a homeless guy who used to go to college there, and he would walk up and down the Ave, you know, and he could tell when somebody was looking to buy something, and he would say, "What do you want?" And then he would go and he would, you know, take their money, and he would take a portion of it for himself to get them drugs. And so he was caught doing that by the police a couple of times. And so he was at three strikes and you're out by the 18th time. And so when he was given the option to go into treatment instead of going to prison, he said, "Okay, I'll do treatment." But that was the only reason he agreed to treatment, because otherwise he would have never stopped using drugs. He loved drugs. So.
And how did the treatment turn out?
Well, in the long term, it was an up and down for years, like where he said he was sober, but he actually wasn't. And so he got evaluated by the Social Security disability psychiatrist, and then we all found out he's got a mental illness on top of his addiction problem. And so, thank heavens, he was given Social Security disability, and so now he gets a little bit every month so that he has a roof over his head and enough to eat, you know. And I'm so, so grateful for that. Now he will never work. He'll never get married. He'll never a bunch of things, but he lives. His roommate is also sober, and my brother attends 12-step meetings on a regular basis, and so all the time. And he's always texting people in recovery and stuff. And so that's the new thing that makes him feel good, is connecting with people, helping new people in the program, and connecting with people who have a lot of years behind him. But currently, as it stands today, he's 5 years sober, and I'm so, so glad for him. And so after he got off the streets, and so the emergency taking care of him was handled. He's housed now. There's money to do the basic minimum to support him. And that's when I started to see the articles linking marijuana use, especially teen marijuana use, to adult schizophrenia. And I was just like, why doesn't everybody know this? This needs to be a part of every kid's education, especially in a country where it's becoming more popular and it's commercialized, as we've discussed, and made attractive for kids. Why doesn't everybody understand this risk? And even here in California, we have a mandated drug abuse education in California schools. And you know, the last time it was updated was 1987.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, nothing's changed since then, so.
Right? And this is a crime that here we are. Wow. We have billboards out, and kids get Snapchat things on their phone saying how great this is for them.
Well, you can have it delivered. They can buy it online and have people bring it to them.
Right. And yet they're not being told about what can happen to them. Mentally, and at least, you know, in Colorado, they have warning labels that say this has not been tested for safety, and it may cause long-term physical and mental health problems. At least they have warning labels.
Does your brother, does he attribute his schizophrenia to marijuana use? Has he put that together and passed that on to other people?
Yeah, he talks about that now, and we've done that together. And when I told him about the studies, he said, "If I knew marijuana would do that, I never would have tried it."
Mm.
And that's how I feel, too.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I was taught well in school was just some basic sex education. If you do this, this can happen.
Well, you had Reefer Madness. Remember that?
Yeah.
They had the video Reefer Madness.
Which was like a big joke and actually was more of an advertisement than a deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I still get messages saying reefer madness, reefer madness, reefer madness. Literally.
Oh, no
like
kidding.
No, totally serious. And I'm like, okay, first of all, it's an out-of-date reference.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything more up-to-date? And secondly, you're, you know, when people go on and on talking about how reefer madness lady I am for saying this, it's like, well, you're just revealing that you've got a problem because this is, you keep saying reefer madness, you know, which reveals, you know, maybe they've got some problems. Because if you say to a person who uses cocaine, you know, cocaine has negative effects, they'll say, yeah. You say to somebody who drinks alcohol, you know, there are problems with alcohol, there are problems with tobacco, everybody agrees. But if you tell that to someone who uses marijuana, a lot of the times they refuse to acknowledge any harm.
You know, that is so true. Absolutely. I've heard that so many times. There is this huge defensive shield that goes up when it comes to pot, whereas any other drug, oh, yeah, I know it's bad.
Oh, it's not a drug.
Yeah, but...
It's not a drug. It's an herb.
Yeah, it's an herb. It's medicine.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
And it's
well, you know
just,
what, folks?
And it's just like... It's just like alcohol, and alcohol kills tons of people, and we legalize that, so
well,
if we legalize this, it'll feed the tax base, and it's like...
Well,
oh,
when they come up with the whole natural thing, what about opium poppies? That's pretty natural. Should that be okay to grow those and scrape a little?
Did they legalize
opium?
Heroin in Oregon?
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah. It's, you know, they decriminalized it, but yeah, you can just get a ticket now if you.
If you're running around with heroin.
Yeah.
If your brother, we're kind of running up on our news break here, but when we come back, I want to talk about all the things that are on your website, the tools. For people, and I'm curious how much input he had with that, because it sounds like maybe he did have quite a bit. But you've got all sorts of tools that not only can people use at, I mean, you could, these are good tools for parents, but if you're a teacher or you have a youth group or things like that, I would think that this would be really, really impactful because it's based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
Unfortunately, it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
And that website for people is anightinjail.com. So, can't believe you were able to get that. That's pretty straightforward. But you allow them. You also put pictures of your brother on there. I hope people do go look at it, and you can just see the
progression. Yeah.
I'm assuming he was in his 20s at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Oh, whoops! My clock's wrong again. I guess we're
40.
In the break time. Sorry, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Our guest is Heidi Swan, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Tell me what you want to do, what you going to do. Yeah. Bad boys, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you going to do? What you going to do?